let's take a look at bushfires. If you've driven through the outback recently, you'll have seen how last summer's rains have given large parts of central Australia this gorgeous tinge of green. But rising temperatures, windy conditions, mean that the abundant grass and scrub is now drying out, and it's turning into a major fire threat for inland Australia. As Kathy Van Extel reports, some graziers have already been hit with the heartbreaking trifecta of drought, floods, in recent weeks.
About a week ago, just came in stormy weather and lots of lightning on Darwin. There was a lot of fires around. We counted just to the east of us about 14 fires. We also had like a gale force northeasterly wind which just fanned them. And because they were all in different paddocks in the, on the property, we just couldn't get to them all, and some of them just within a few hours burnt through, and we spent the next few days sort of running from one fire to the next, sort of blocking it up. At the end of the day, we sort of think we lost sort of between probably 55-60% of the property.
Sharon Betts runs the 209,000-hectare Epsilon station in the far southwest corner of Queensland, bordering South Australia. It's about 100 kilometres from Cameron Corner, where the two states meet New South Wales. Until last week, her 4,500 head of cattle had been fattening up on the bounty of two good seasons after the long crippling drought. Now, grass fires covering hundreds of thousands of hectares have created instant drought-like conditions for up to 10 outback stations. Sharon Betts says she'll probably have to reduce stock.
There'll be a shortage of feed for the cattle. It's not like a drought where it's, you slowly go into it and you've got a bit of bush and trees and that, that and Spinifex. This is like instant. There's just, in some parts, there's just nothing left.
How many other properties? Are you aware of how many other properties and over what area has been impacted?
Well, Orientos, which is next door, they would have lost a similar amount. And then you've got Narriorco and Innaminka and Napmeri, which all Kidman places, lost a substantial amount. Then there's Omicron. You go into South Australia, there's Bollards, Lagoon and Lindon and Murty, all lost reasonable amounts of country.
Sharon Betts says they were expecting a bad fire season.
Well, we upgraded our two graders because we had a bit of a scare in February. We actually had some fires earlier and started putting in fire breaks, which did help, but I think it just came a little bit quicker. We were sort of thinking maybe in a couple of months we'd have all this trouble in front of us.
It's already been a busy start to the season. A blaze in the Simpson Desert on the South Australian Northern Territory border has already burnt out about 5 million hectares and is still burning in South Australia. Rain this week has aided efforts to control fires north and south of Alice Springs and in central and northern Queensland. The seasonal bushfire outlook points to dangerous conditions in most of inland Australia. Richard Thornton is the Deputy CEO of the Bushfire CRC.
Following the very high rainfalls of previous years, very high levels of grass growth, so across most of inland Australia, basically from the Great Dividing Range in the east of the country right across to West Australia and particularly into Central Australia and Northern WA.
There are predictions this season could be as bad as the summer of 1974-75, when fire burnt 117 million hectares of Central Australia. That's 15% of the continent. Richard Thornton says it'll depend on whether it rains.
If there's rain around, then that will dampen the amount that things can burn this season, but it will only exacerbate the fuel loads in future years.
David Packham, a retired CSIRO bushfire scientist, believes a repeat of the mid-70s fires is a strong possibility.
There is an amazingly strong correlation between previous rainfall and subsequent years of bushfires. If that correlation holds, and I expect it will, we are in for one big season in these more dry and arid regions, going from sort of the mallee type areas of Victoria, South Australia and New South Wales, right up into and around the Alice Springs and further north.
David Packham is worried about the potential threat to lives.
A new issue in the outback now is there's a real whack of grey nomads out there who are now vulnerable because they don't have the experience. If we have life losses there, it'll be in that particular sector.
At the front line in these remote regions are the pastoralists. David Packham is concerned about their ability to cope with a tough fire season.
The graziers and people out there have been so beaten up by decades of drought and now live cattle export problems that they probably are not in a financial situation where they can equip themselves sufficiently to apply the skills that they have to control these fires. I think they desperately need some good on-the-ground practical support.
About a third of Australia's carbon emissions come from bushfires. The Pew Environment Group has been calling for improved fire management in inland Australia. Neil Burrows is one of the nation's leading outback fire experts.
Historically, Aboriginal people carried out a lot of small-scale patch burning, which would have benefited the biodiversity in the environment and reduced the likelihood of very large and severe wildfires. Now, in a lot of places, that's stopped, so we're likely to see very large wildfires.
What are the characteristics of an outback fire?
Under hot, dry, windy conditions, these grassland fires spread very, very fast. They can spread up to sort of 10 kilometres per hour, and that doesn't include any spotting that might occur. So they're difficult to contain because of the speed at which they travel and also because of the lack of resources and infrastructure out there to do battle with these things.
Dr. Burrows is a principal research scientist with the West Australian Department of Environment and Conservation.
Because they burn such large areas, and it can be millions of hectares in any event, the impacts on native wildlife, animals in particular, can be quite devastating. They've got no cover, no food. They're vulnerable to predation, so they're really undesirable events from a wildlife point of view.
Neil Burrows says large-scale outback fires typically happen every two or three decades, but they may become more frequent.
With climate change and the forecast of higher rainfall in parts of the interior and the north, we could see this interval between these large fire events shortening to perhaps 10 or 15 years.
That's outback bushfire expert Neil Burrows, ending that report by Cathy Van Extel, 12 to 8.